This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com. This is episode 135. They parent so you don't have to. Dads, episode number 135. Google G Plus Hangouts is messing with me. This is Ken Denmead, publisher and editor at large for geekdad.com. Hello, everybody. It's been a couple of weeks. Nice to see you. You know, what's nice? We have more than just me and the Star Trek hater.
that's an inappropriate way of
talking. Oh no, this is good. I haven't looked to see whether we got any good comments out of that last.
No, I didn't either. Actually,
we should. You know what? Where it's probably the worst. Go take a look at YouTube where the episode is posted. You know, the video part of it, because YouTube comments are usually just absolutely brutal.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that could be our whole podcast. Let's go read the YouTube comments for our debate on Star Trek.
A dramatic reading. I caught part of your conversation. I wasn't able to join in for the podcast, but I enjoyed listening to the two of you have it out.
That was a lively geek debate, and you can't beat that.
Absolutely. It certainly was.
It certainly was. So there's Matt. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe you can go and enjoy After Earth. or whatever it is.
After Earth. I'm looking forward to...
That's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
You know a movie's got to be bad if they're not even promoting the fact that it's M. Night Shyamalan. We are living in a post M. Night world.
I didn't even realize it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I just knew it was, you know, the Smiths saved the world or something.
I forget which IO9 made a comment as to... you know, this is M. Night has had to go like work for hire. He doesn't even get his name in the billing anymore, which is kind of sad. I mean, you know, one great movie, one very good movie, one mediocre movie, and a bunch of other really disappointing movies, and now, you know, especially ruining our hopes of Last Airbender, and then. But they're still letting him direct, so...
I have no idea why. He hasn't made a genuinely good film in 14 years. I mean, if I produced, you know, good work at a rate like that, I'd have been fired a long time ago.
that's a whole different world than we live in, Matt.
There's only just the one comment on our last podcast, and that's the one from Jonathan. So,
yeah.
What did that what did he say?
Howdy, I joined but can't stick around.
Oh,
that was a comment during the chat. Yeah,
of course, there's probably like 7 views, so it's probably not that.
It doesn't seem to say on this page. I don't know why.
Interesting. Well, gentlemen, it's been a while since this August. I started to say robust team got together to chat, but I don't think we've had a chat, Mr. Liu, since you became a father for the third time. Congratulations!
Thank you. No, it's been a while.
Because she's graduating kindergarten right now, right? It's.
Huh? We're coming up on 6 weeks now.
Excellent. Yeah. Sleeping through the night?
No.
Oh, good. Nope. Okay.
That explains your zombie late afternoon and early evening, and then waking up at, you know, about midnight and deciding that's a good time to be awake for several hours.
Gotcha.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. Mega congratulations. Yes.
I do have to say, I've been spending, you know, basically, you've probably played the game for years, but I've just, because of tabletop, picked up the iPad version of Forbidden Island.
And, oh, yeah.
I have not been able to put it down.
Oh, it's fantastic. Now, have you been playing with other people, or have you been playing all the roles yourself?
Just by myself at this point, doing, you know.
Yeah, and I like that you can change the way the island looks there, which is, yeah, which is really cool. Although some of them make it so hard, like the atoll one where it's in a ring.
Oh,
I mean, man, that is brutal. That is absolutely.
I have not even gone that far. The most I'll challenge myself is regular mode and not picking which roles I was on my team. That's the extent to which I've gotten some measure of ongoing success.
I have actually I've done that play the I mean, I've been playing the game for a long time now, but since PAX East 2011, I think. Yeah, I think that's when Dave Banks introduced me to it, and I got the app, and I love to play, and I've been, you know, jacking up the difficulty level. I have actually managed to beat it on Legendary a couple of times now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, only with
the right card at the right time for that.
Oh, yeah. It's like by the skin of my teeth, where, you know, the only thing that's left is like Fool's Island and one tile next to it, and that's it. And sometimes Fool's Fool's Landing is underwater.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm going to say, we apparently have one viewer right now. Anyone who wants to get in on chatting with us live during the podcast, just tweet to hashtag GDPodcastLive, and we will see your tweets, and we will respond to them in the podcast live. Like real live on the internet. It's cool. We can do that.
Sequel is coming out very soon.
Yeah, Matt and I got to play that at
Forbidden Desert.
It's great.
It was really good. And this one, the board actually moves.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like the shifting sands of the desert.
Yeah, so the tiles actually move around.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. And so the thing is, yeah, in Forbidden Island, right, you when the tiles get submerged and they're gone.
Right.
But in this one, sand starts piling up on top of them. So you have these...
You have to dig them out.
but there's no limit to how many piles of sand there can be on it and on a given tile.
Well, except for the limit of sand tiles there are to put on top of it.
Well, yeah.
When you run out of those, then you run out. Yeah. No, but actually, it was pretty cool. So we actually beat the game. And according to the person there, we were one of the very few teams to actually do that.
Nice.
Although it was on, I guess we played it on
We played on regular. I think it was regular.
Regular. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
It wasn't legendary.
No, it wasn't legendary. No. But it's really kind of cool. You instead of getting those little treasures, you have pieces of a flying machine that you have to assemble.
So it's Flight of the Phoenix.
Sort of, except it's like a future. It's like
it's not Hardy Krueger building parts from a toy model.
It's like an old style futuristic flying machine.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like what they used to think that like flying machines would look like. Like, you know, like 150 years ago.
Renaissance punk. Ren punk.
Yeah. Ren punk. Yeah, it's got like a big
trademark. Ken Denmead, 2013. Ren punk. That's, yeah.
But no, it was a lot of fun, and I'll definitely be getting it as soon as it's available. Unquestionably. I like that it's not the same as Island just in a desert, that there's a distinctively different gameplay. Excellent. But it's similar enough that if you're familiar with Island, it will seem you'll get into it really quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's similar enough, but not so similar. They'd be like, well, I don't need to get that. I already have the other one. You know, right. You wouldn't.
It's cooperative. It's, you know, you're fighting against the incursion of something.
Right. And the, and the
water, sand,
actions and movements, right. Yeah, those are fairly similar. It's fairly similar gameplay.
What are the character roles?
Some of those are. I remember there was one. The one that we happened to get was one Matt was able to like. I was able to travel with Matt. Oh, he was able to climb up like through piles of sand, and you could carry people with him.
Right, I was able to walk on top. It didn't matter if there were piles of sand on the tile. I could walk there, and I could take one person with me, which, of course, there only was one other person, which worked out nicely. And Jonathan had...
water carrier.
Yeah,
he could... water carrier.
Yeah, because you have a certain amount of water that your character can have, and then if it runs out, and you get under the... If there's sun, because there's both sand that gets piled on top, there's sandstorms, and there's sun. Mm-hmm. And if the sun beats down, then... You deduct a water unless you have protection from the sun.
Ah,
yeah.
And then if you run out of water and get sun, you die.
Got it. So it is a little more.
So you don't drown; you die of exposure and dehydration.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
This one also has the addition of cards that you can play, like tools to do things.
Right,
right.
Which is kind of cool. Which it has more than Forbidden Island has the helicopter lift and the sandbags, but this has more than that.
Oh, cool.
Right. The little artifacts and tools that you can find.
Right, but on the other hand, you also in this one you don't need to collect cards to pick up the pieces. You need to find out where they are.
Yeah.
Where they are changes from game to game.
Oh, interesting.
So, like I said, definitely different from my own. Definitely different gameplay, but enough similarities that it'll seem familiar in some way.
Yeah.
Very cool.
As usual, the art is cool, and it was a lot of fun. I would totally play it.
Yeah.
And how soon is that supposed to come out?
I thought it was supposed to already be out, but.
Sometime this summer.
I'm seeing what Amazon has to say. Oh, it says June 6th. That would be pretty soon.
That would be really soon.
That would be the day after tomorrow. All right, then.
All right, you heard it right here, Geek Dad listeners. It's time to pay attention. Go down to your local game store because there's a new. What's the name of the game? It's not Forbidden Island, right?
It's Forbidden Desert.
Yeah.
Forbidden Desert.
Yeah.
Not.
I believe. Dave Banks was planning on a review of it at some point. Okay. So we should.
Yeah, he was supposed to get a preview copy.
We should have that. Yeah.
Yeah, we should have.
So we should see that soon. But it's good. I mean, you don't have to read his review. Just go get it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I was just searching for it. Forbidden Island came up on Amazon.
Yeah.
And they only have one copy left on Amazon. I mean, it's fulfilled by Amazon, but they only have one left.
Pre-ordered completely.
No, that's Forbidden Island.
Oh, Forbidden Island. Oh, well, yeah.
So it's probably, well, I mean,
so, I guess. So that's because of the episode of Tabletop.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Which is excellent, as it should do.
The question is, do I order it or do I go and try to find it in the store? Because my kids really want to play it too. My kids love Forbidden Island. They always fight over who gets to play, like who gets to be the pilot, who gets to be the engineer.
You know, make it random?
Yeah, we sometimes do that. We sometimes do that, but I can't remember. Some of the roles are more useful than others.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. The pilot and the engineer, I think, are probably the most useful.
Yes, I would agree with
that. The diver, by the time the diver becomes useful, you've probably done something wrong.
Yeah. actually, I find the explorer is more useful than the diver. Because he can move and shore up diagonally.
Yeah.
Which can really come in handy.
Yeah, really. I haven't found the diver to be as useful.
No.
Because their power is, you know, swimming through blank spaces, but you're trying to avoid blank spaces. So until that happens.
Well, I thought they could swim through ones that were underwater also. Even if
that's true. You can skip over underwater ones, but
So I can see how it could be useful, but it's more random when it's useful. But it's hard to predict when it'll be useful.
I just
the Explorer is nice because it doesn't have to be orthogonally next to something to shore it out. That's very nice. Especially when like Fool's Landing keeps getting submerged, you're like, I gotta go turn it over. I gotta keep sending somebody back there. So it can be very useful though.
Yeah.
But I think the pilot is absolutely essential. I don't think I've ever managed to win a game without the pilot. I mean, I'm sure it's possible, but I've never managed it.
So. Well, that was a good review of the game. Well, actually, it's an awesome game. I'm having so much fun with it, and I have to say, the iPad version of it is very well put together.
It is, and it saves a lot of the hassle.
It plays excellently. Yeah,
it saves the hassle of reshuffling the cards every time there's a water rises, and having to lay out the tiles every time.
I haven't checked
hunting around for the right one to flip over.
I do wish it would it could turn off the shuffling mechanic, just because it wastes like 5 seconds every single. It's like, oh great, so we waters rise. All right, this is I get it. You're shuffling.
There is one other thing that annoys me about it. I'm not sure if it's actually supposed to be this way, which is that you're not able to give a sandbag or a helicopter lift to somebody else, because once you tap on them, you play it.
Oh.
So there's no way to give it to somebody else.
Hmm.
Although the sandbag and helicopter lift are not, I guess they count towards your card limit. But they're not actions. Right. They're not actions that can be played out of turn. So I guess
it'd be right. Possible. But they can't towards your card limit. There have been times when I'm like, I don't really want to play this now. I don't want to lose it, and this person's up to their card limit, and he can't give it to somebody else because I can't. Yeah, there's no way to do that in the game.
Right. Right.
So I'm wondering if that's actually the way the rule is supposed to be, that you can't give those. I don't remember seeing that. I always keep meaning to check that, but it seems silly that you can give the other cards, but not those. but just the game has no mechanic to let you do that.
Yeah.
So, that's my one quibble with the iPad app. It is otherwise an extremely good app.
All right, just completely out of left field. Chris Hardwick tweeting an Instagram. He ambushed. He got himself a picture with Judge Ito.
Okay, that's out of the past. Wow.
Yeah. But he definitely more of an LA celebrity than anything else. But
well, everybody knows. I mean. Everybody's
sort of aware of him, but yeah.
Anyone who's reasonably probably over the age of 12 in 1995 remembers the OJ trial, pretty well. I certainly remember it well enough. Heck yeah.
gotta say, Judge Ito, he's still looking good. He's yeah. Awesome. Well, all right. So what else is going on, guys? For the last 2 weeks, I have been hip deep in getting up to speed in my new role over at Make. And realistically, I've been just like completely out of touch. My RSS feeds are going unread. Like, a 1,000 posts from The Verge are not getting read. And that's just from today. And so I don't know what's going on in the world. I've lost touch with geek society, and I'm a little sad here. I'm a little bereft.
I can't help you out there.
I would figure when you're up at 12 a.m. taking care of the midnight feeding and trying to get the baby to bed, you know, you're logging on your computer and checking RSS feeds and, you know, catching up on oh, wait, there's someone behind it. Don't turn around. Jonathan, there's someone behind it. Don't turn around.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
we finally got a TV set up in our house because my wife insisted on, you know, like, this is something I will need when I have to sit, you know, sit there and hold the baby and nurse the baby. We had an old CRT down in our basement.
It's all over now, Jonathan.
Well, yeah, you know, we didn't even have a digital tuner because when I lived in Tribune and we bought this TV, there were no stations, so it didn't matter.
So this week it's PBS Kids. Next week it's TLC.
No, we're not even talking PBS and TLC. I mean, it was if you didn't have cable, you got literally zero channels, unless you had one of those big, you know, aerial antennas on your house. So, you know, we used it for, you know, DVDs and, you know, Xbox and stuff like that, but we didn't actually watch TV. So we finally got a TV and I got myself an Apple TV.
Congratulations.
So, you know, so we got Netflix and have been watching, you know, whatever. So it was like, oh, hey, look, you know, here's 9 seasons of Futurama. I can catch up now.
my Robin and I are in the middle of 9th season of X-Files that we've slowly been catching up on.
I think she started X-Files.
Yeah.
We haven't started Arrested Development yet, but part of that is because we're not awake at the same times watching the television, and that's what we want to watch together. But we finished off the BBC Sherlock finally, because we had gotten halfway through that last time. And,
very cool.
Yeah. So it's been, you know, and that's something. I mean, that's the thing is I've been catching up on some reading, but if our baby needs to be bounced, so you sit down and she wakes up and cries, and so she needs to be bounced. It's like, okay, well, it's hard to read when I'm going like this up and down. but I can watch the TV when I'm doing that.
So audiobooks, Jonathan. Audiobooks.
Yeah.
I'm now driving an hour and a half each way twice a week for my job.
Yeah.
Audiobooks.
Yeah.
Audiobooks can help, yes. They can. Although the problem is that if you lose concentration in an audiobook, then you can't go back easily. I mean, it's a pain to have to keep rewinding. If you're watching something on TV that's, you know, unless it's something really complex, if you miss a couple of seconds, it's okay. You know, you're gonna pick it right back up again.
Yeah, I'm such a visual person that I have trouble with audiobooks. I just, you know, I've got to read it because I'll go back and look, you know, I'll flip back a couple of pages and go, oh, wait, let me, you know, refer to this thing. And that's hard to do with an audiobook.
So, you know, interesting thing to mentioning X-Files on Netflix, there's been actually been like heat and news building that, you know, rumors abounding of the possibility of a third X-Files movie, seemingly based on the fact that so many people are going back and rewatching X-Files on Netflix. That it's like, it's going through a cycle, and there may be enough heat bubbling up under it that they'll finally sort of finish the story that was sort of being carried through the movies.
I did. I heard an interview on the radio I couldn't catch the name. This, you know, someone from Netflix talking about a lot, you know, about the fact that TV watching is so much different now with things like Netflix, with the way that they're releasing shows, you know, that caters to the binge watcher. And this is a pretty interesting conversation.
It's this is what I used to dream of when I was a latchkey kid growing up, and all that was on at 3:30 was, I don't know. Oh,
Knight Rider.
Although that's why I got, you know, why I'm familiar with I forget what the real name is, a space battleship Yamamoto and so forth, because the 3:30 kids hour sci-fi sort of funny local show that would play replays of Japanese series was totally awesome.
That's why I used to watch Voltron all the time.
Yeah.
There was one Japanese series where it was like the family members, and they all had these whistles, and when they blew the whistles, they would turn into giant robots, or I forget.
This I do not know.
Yeah. And Ultraman. Oh,
yeah. That I do remember.
There you go. Ultraman. Yeah, that was awesome. The days, you know, there was like a, and I'm gonna keep forgetting. There is like a live action space battleship Yamamoto movie being developed in Japan. That ought to be, you know, awesome.
Isn't it Yamato, by the way?
Yamato.
I saw the, I watched the trailer for Pacific Rim recently. Mm-hmm. They said, This looks like, well, first of all, I think it looks a lot like King of Tokyo. I think they should just call it King of Tokyo.
It does kind of, doesn't it? Yeah. that's the board game that they did on tabletop before Forbidden Mount.
Right.
But, you know, like, yeah, this is basically a, you know, 1950s Japanese monster movie made in 2013 by Americans.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't decide if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but
hopefully,
that's
what it looks like. Hopefully it will be better than that version of Godzilla that they did, what, about years ago with Matthew Broderick?
Matthew Broderick, come on!
It was terrible.
I know, because Godzilla looked like a giant iguana.
Right. Where it turned out to be a she, having babies.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's 98. Oh, and actually...
On the other hand, Jean Reno is in that, and Jean Reno kicks Patuki, but
there's apparently a new version of Godzilla coming out next year.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. They're going back to the rubber suit.
With Bryan Cranston. Okay.
Well, Bryan Cranston is quickly becoming the, I don't know, who am I trying to think of? I mean, he shows up in everything.
He does seem to, doesn't he?
Yeah, which I do not blame him for. Do not blame him for. Two successful, you know, iconic television series under his belt. He's allowed to do anything he wants.
And ones where he plays, I mean, an entirely different
series, and completely diametrically opposed characters.
Yeah, exactly. Showing he has depth, you know. So
yeah.
Oh, and the Godzilla is also going to have Aaron Taylor Johnson on it, from the guy from Kick-Ass.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, waiting for the next Kick-Ass that's coming.
Yep. When it comes out later this year, I think, right?
Trailers look good. Jim Carrey looks like he's having fun.
Yeah, when was the last time he was in?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, was that his last one? That was a while ago. 2004.
Oh, no, there's the incredible Burt Wonderstone. That was earlier this year, which kind of flopped.
That hasn't come out yet. Has it?
I thought it did. I thought it did. And it just flopped completely.
Really? Well, maybe it did, but I didn't think it had even come out yet.
Yeah, it did. Mr. Popper's Penguins. He was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the incredible Burt Wonderstone came out in March.
Missed that. Wow.
Yeah, that shows you just how good it was. Yep.
Oh, but there's a you know, another Dumb and Dumber coming out next year, so you know, we're all looking forward to
it. Wait, and he's in it?
Yes, he's in it.
Apparently so.
Hey, I have to say one thing, guys. I dropped out of the hangout But you know, whatever technical thing happened, that doesn't mean the podcast was killed.
Hey,
if we're not doing it on Skype running off of my system, we're doing it on YouTube and Google Plus. We're not dead. So
excellent.
That's handy. I like that.
That is very handy. Yeah. So Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels both in the new Dumb and Dumber movie. Just what the world needed, really.
Yeah.
It's like, seriously, is it going to be materially different? I mean, I'll just go back and watch the first one.
Yeah. And let's put it this way. At this stage is in their career, who needs to do it more?
That's true.
I think Jeff Daniels is doing just fine right now.
Yeah. Oh, he's got the news.
Yeah. Yeah, the newsroom.
The newsroom. I mean, he's on a good TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, Jim Carrey has been doing horrible movies.
Right.
That flop. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not quite a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, you know, the Bill and Ted sequel kind of situation where it's pretty clear whose career has done better. But
yeah. Well, yeah, there continue to be rumors about a Bill and Ted's 3 as well.
Yeah, they've said that they're doing it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they've written it. He and Alex have written it, but
yeah, I still think without Rufus. I can't. I don't know. It just can't be the same. It just can't be. I mean, George Carlin was so important to those movies. And without him, it just, you know, it won't. It couldn't possibly be as good. Mm. It just can't. I mean, it could still be a decent movie, but it can't be as good as the first two.
I just wanted to get Death back. second movie, Bill, not Pullman, not Paxton, Bill Sadler, William Sadler.
Yes.
His death was made that movie.
Yeah, speaking of which, just speaking of Bill Sadler, it was so weird in Iron Man 3 seeing him as a good guy.
I know. What was up with that? I
haven't seen Iron Man 3 yet. He plays the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And he's actually supposed to be like a good guy. I mean, he's not supposed to be like an evil president or something. He's supposed to be a good guy. And
yeah, he's
like,
not Jonathan Pryce as the President of the United States. He's Bill Sadler. As the president.
It's like, whoa, Bill Sadler's playing a good guy? That's just so weird.
It's odd. It's very odd. And I love Bill Sadler.
Oh, I do too. He's fantastic. He chews scenery so well. It's fantastic. He's great. I mean, it's so weird. It's like Sean Bean playing somebody who doesn't die.
Yeah, wait a minute. That just doesn't happen. All right, I feel a top 10 list coming up. So, top 10 signs of the Hollywood apocalypse. Bill Sadler plays a good guy. Sean Bean's character lives. Jim Carrey has a successful film.
Burn.
Something. A film by M. Night Shyamalan is good.
Yeah, you know, I was reading something that, just bring it back to him, that... It does. One of the things you can blame Shyamalan for is making it so that it seems that almost every movie that isn't like a comedy or something has to have a twist now. Mm. You know, it used to be that was like a surprise when a movie had a twist.
Right.
Now you're like waiting. Okay, what is the twist going to be?
Right.
Not so. You know, it's there's going to be one. You just don't know what it's going to be. And he did kind of kick off that trend.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough one to pin on him, though, because, you know, I'm sorry, thrillers usually have twists of some kind or another. It's either but he just did one and a half that were so awesome that they caught in the zeitgeist. But.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, you know, the aspects was before Sixth Sense.
Oh, so, yeah, I know. I'm not saying I'm not saying he did the first films with the twist. Obviously not.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, heck, you go back to like, I mean, Psycho, for instance. You know, I mean, certainly there were films with twists before. But yeah. The point is, every single one of his films had a twist.
Yeah, that was the problem. Okay. He let himself get stereotyped as that director.
But he also made audiences expect that to some degree. Yeah. So I'm not saying he's not the only one who's responsible for it, certainly.
Right.
But he definitely had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
It's like, it is okay to make a movie that does not have a twist in it. It's actually art.
Is there a twist in Lady in the Water?
I understand that there is, but oh, okay. I've not actually seen it.
So neither have I. So, like, I gave up after, which came later, Signs or The Village?
Signs, I think.
Okay, yeah, I gave up after Signs.
I think.
Because I'm sorry.
Spacefaring.
No, Unbreakable was the second one.
Yeah, Unbreakable was second.
Sorry, and then Signs and then The Village.
Okay, yeah. I gave up after Village. Signs, let's see, an alien species intelligent enough to traverse the depths of space tries to take over a planet where two-thirds of the material of the surface is poisonous and deadly to them.
Yeah.
No, not buying that one.
No, it was one thing. You know, he was trying to take off on, you know, War of the Worlds with the, you know, the cold virus killing them.
Yeah, but salt or water.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, a damp day in New England will, you know, having that wipe out the invading species. That they didn't plan ahead. No.
But, they were just planning to take over a little portion of.
That's it. They desert. Just wanted, you know.
If we just let, Africa, if we said, hey, over there, you can go California. Over there.
Yeah.
There's no rain or water. You'll be safe.
All we want is Arizona. We're good. All right.
He's working on a TV series. Really? Called Wayward Pines, starring Matt Dillon.
Wayward Pines.
Yeah,
lots of. Twin
moving trees, yeah. I was
wondering. Fences and
a Secret Service agent goes to Wayward Pines, Idaho, in search of two federal agents who have gone missing in the bucolic town. He soon learns that he may never get out of Wayward Pines alive.
Situated halfway between Twin Peaks and the town from Northern Exposure, and wow.
He's one of the executive producers. He's not directing it.
Okay. All right.
Maybe it'll be okay. Who knows? But him being associated with it does not speak well for it. Let's just
It's like I'm not taking odds on that. No, I don't think so. What do we see? Warehouse 13's been canceled. It's like,
yeah. At least they're giving it a shortened season to tie up the plot, which is nice, like they did with Eureka, like they did that with Eureka. So that's good, at least. I mean,
they didn't do it with Alphas, like they didn't.
Yeah. Oh no, I mean, I think it sucks that they're doing it. But
Sci-Fi Channel is like the sadomasochistic relationship for it's you like something it? Really awesome. We like love it. We love it. You cancel it. Screw you.
I haven't actually seen Warehouse 13, but it's on my.
It's a fun show.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's dopey.
It's as serious as Eureka was.
Possibly even less serious, but.
And it had crossover. Actually, it's in the same universe as Eureka. So
it is indeed. That is true.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is dope. It is a dopey show, but it is, and it's kind of, it treads the line between science fiction and supernatural fantasy, but that's okay.
No, it doesn't. It trips over the line and falls on one side or the
other. Well, that's right. Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah. It doesn't really have a whole lot of actual science fiction in it, but that's okay. It's still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's the fantasy with a veneer of sci-fi.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. but it has some good acting in it. And I was glad to say, did you see this this last episode?
Yes.
It was cool to see CHG back. It was cool.
Yes. Yeah, also, there's a sign that a show isn't that serious. H.G. Wells is hot.
is a woman.
Is a woman. And
yeah. Oh, a woman. Okay.
And yeah.
She's supposed to have she's supposed to have gotten her brother to front as the actual H.G. Wells.
Right.
She just wrote the stories. But the stories were actually true.
Okay.
Is the point of it.
Because she was a warehouse agent in the 19th century.
So she actually did have a time machine and, you know, did all those things. Yeah. But it's also, you know, the actress who's, have you been watching Defiance?
No.
The actress who plays H.G. Wells is also on Defiance.
Oh, hadn't heard that. She was, and which I haven't picked up yet, she was like the star or co-star of the sequel to the David Tennant Fright Night.
Oh, yeah.
There was a sequel to the David Tennant Fright Night.
I did not know that.
Made straight to DVD.
Hmm. Which is why I didn't know about it. Yeah.
But supposedly, you know, a thing, and she was in. So.
Yeah, No, it's her. I mean, it's a completely different character. She doesn't even have a British accent, but she's a regular on the show.
Oh wow,
she's quite good. I mean, if you didn't know it was her, you might actually like squint and like she looks so familiar.
Is she in makeup an alien or is she human?
Yeah, she's an alien.
Oh, okay,
and she's got like completely white skin and white hair.
Gotcha. So she's one of those aliens.
Yes.
I've seen enough ads to know that there are a couple of different aliens.
Yes, there are a couple of different
aliens. All of whom are bipedal and two eyes. And
no, not all of them.
Not all of them, but a couple of them are, you know. It's just actually coincidental that a couple of them are bipedal with hair.
One of them is actually a race of semi-intelligent robots that like go around killing everything. It's not clear, but they like to kill everybody else. So.
Oh, well, you know. Stereotyping. I mean, come on. I read a story about a peaceful race of, you know, coexisting happy robots who are just there to tend the planet and make things better.
Mm. Like, yeah, Wally.
Like what?
Wally.
Just there to clean up our trash.
Right. Right. Well, that's all very exciting. I don't know, guys. What else? Have we got anything else coming up? We got anything coming up on the blog? I mean, we are only, what, 2.5 weeks off of from Father's Day?
Yeah,
this is true. I did want to mention, I put up a post today about a new product that's coming out later this summer that I was actually given an exclusive on. Called Batroborgs, coming out from Tomy. They're basically what, as I said in the article, they're basically what Rock'em Sock'em Robots should have been.
Oh.
If the technology had existed then. You know, if Rock'em Sock'em Robots could have moved around.
Right.
Instead of just stood in one place and punched each other. Because basically you have these nunchuck controllers and you use those to punch. And it also they also move the robots, and you go right, you get an arena and you can actually kind of reconfigure the arena with strings around the outside, and then you go around, you try to punch the other robots in the head, and it registers the blow and it has a little light that lights up, tells you, you know, if they gotten a hit, and if they get a certain number of hits, you know, it turns to yellow and then it turns to red and then it stops responding. And
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they have a cool website and everything, so you can see like the different robots that you can get. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun playing with my kids. It has a few design issues, like it's a little hard to turn around when you get up against the ropes because there's no actual reverse function. But it's on balance, it's still a lot of fun to play with.
Cool.
So.
Neat.
Plus, I like that they designed it so that the controllers aren't tied to a specific robot. Like you can pair them You just pair them one at a time, so you don't have to keep them together or anything. You know, you don't have to. They're not like it's like not like this controller must go with this robot. It's like, you know, they can, any robot can go with any controller. You just pair them at the, when you're about to use them.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
A little bird has whispered in my ear about bringing up something about the Game of Thrones Red Wedding episode.
Did you guys?
I have not seen it.
You have not seen it.
I don't have HBO. I only watch Game of Thrones when I'm flying on Virgin.
But you've
I haven't watched any Game of Thrones.
You've read the books though, right, Ken? So.
It's been a while, but yeah.
But you remember that, surely?
No, I don't. No? I've gotten that far. It's been years.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that's kind of an important scene. It's the my wife was telling me this a joke that she saw online. The why doesn't George R. R. Martin use Twitter? Because he's killed all 140 characters. it was quite a scene. I mean, I knew it was coming. I had actually thought they were going to end the season with it because it's such a huge scene. Like it's such a, oh my God, did that just happen scene? But I guess I should have, because like back in the first season, it was the next to last episode when they had the big surprise,
right,
for everybody. And so they decided to do that again because the next episode is the season finale. And I realized partway through the episode, oh, okay, they're obviously going to do it this episode because it was clearly leading up to that.
Right. They had the bachelor party and then they.
Yeah.
That extra episode that'll be online, Red Bachelor Party.
It was.
They all wake up in King's Landing with no memory of what happened the night before and have to piece it together.
I can talk about the episode if you want. I mean, it's going to be a bit spoilerific, obviously, but
now you know what? We better not. We did a full-on spoiler episode.
It's all over the internet, honestly. But and we're almost done with the podcast. We could just say, you know,
from all right, here that's on it. Out. Everybody who's listening, if you don't want to know what happened in the episode, stop now. Thank you all for listening. It's been awesome. Wonderful. Okay, this is your last warning. If you don't want to know what happened in the episode, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, you're done with now. We're talking about it. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, so the story is that, you know, Robb Stark, who's, you know, the king in the north, and he's decided he needs the help of the Fries, who are a group that had been sort of allied with them and sort of not. And he had made a promise marry one of Walder Fry's. He's the elder guy. He's got
They control the river crossing or the lake crossing.
He's got a million daughters and granddaughters and such, and evidently no sons to speak of, really. And anyway, he had promised to marry one of his daughters.
Right.
And then he had gone ahead and married somebody else anyway.
Right,
because he fell in love with somebody and he got married to her, and they but now he needs help from this guy, so they go. He goes there with his mother, with Catelyn Stark, and they go and they basically, you know, apologizes and says, okay, well, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't marry your daughter, but my uncle can, you know, his one of Catelyn's member of Caitlin's family is going to marry one of his daughters. Uh-huh. And so
it is good, huh?
Right. But I mean, and Walder Fry's like, oh, you know, he sounds like he's being completely forgiving and it's all this hospitality. And then they go through
never a good time.
Wedding, just, you know, it's nice as can be. And it's, you know, everybody's celebrating and there's music playing. And then, you know, you see, you know, sort of some of the members of the Fry's start, you know, kind of wandering out. And then somebody bars the door, And then the archers on the upper level come out and shoot everybody full of arrows, including Rob and Caitlin, who have been main characters since the first episode.
Good.
Yeah. And basically kill, you know, a lot of minor characters and two major characters. And I mean, and Caitlin and Rob don't die immediately. Rob has some time to mourn his dead wife, who in the show, although not in the book, is pregnant. So they added that little wrinkle there too.
Right.
Made it even more tragic. And Caitlin actually, in the show, which she doesn't do in the book, cuts the throat of Walter Fry's wife before she herself has her throat cut, which is actually essential in the books that she has her throat cut and not just doesn't get shot for hours. I was waiting for that to happen because she actually comes back.
Okay. Zombie or what? Oh, did we lose him?
Did we just lose him?
Oh my, he gave away all the secrets and they came to get him.
Oh.
He told the secrets and HBO snuck up and shot Matt full of arrows. It's really sad. Oh well. Perfect timing. That is too awesome. Well, cool. Jonathan, I don't imagine you've got anything to add to that.
Yeah, no, I'm not a Game of Thrones guy. I caught a little bit of it at one point and said, you know, I haven't read the books and kind of choosing not to. So
look, there's Matt. You're alive, yeah. Matt. They slit your throat, but you've come back. But you've got no sound. They slit Caitlin's throat, and then she comes back, and then you dropped off, as if somebody had planned it that way.
she doesn't come back for a long time, but it's important that her throat gets cut for the story.
Because she's not really dead, or she comes back as some sort of undead creature.
The latter. She comes back as sort of a zombie Caitlin, but she can't speak. Is the point because her throat was cut.
Got it. Awesome. All right. Well, we're gonna. On that note, I think we'll tie this one up. So, guys, it's awesome talking to you. I feel like I've just been completely separated from stuff for a while, and you know, after the bitter spanking I got over Star Trek, I've just been really a little nervous about coming back to the podcast. But but awesome, Jonathan, it is wonderful to see you. Tell your Robin hello for us all, and
will do.
And congratulations. And
congratulations,
well.
Of course.
Thank you.
Fritting away your retirement funds.
You don't look nearly as sleep deprived as I would have expected, really.
I've been doing all right. I mean, I've been able to go back to bed. You know,
that's good.
That's true. As a stay at home dad, even if you've got to get up in the middle of the night to take care of those things, you can sleep in a little bit in the morning before having to get the other kids ready for school.
Yeah. Right? Well, we get up and get the kids to school, and then we go back to bed.
Oh, there you go.
But we've only got about a week and a half left of that, and then school's out. So
then school's out. Well, but then the hopefully the two older ones will just sleep until 10.
You know, that's the hope. But then it's summer break, so that's when they get up early, right? That's when they don't stay in bed.
That's why you set the TV up, Jonathan.
That's true.
Oh, right.
Now you're programming on Netflix.
Yes, they parent so you don't have to. That's the point.
Okay. Is that how that works?
Exactly. I mean, what's a TV for?
What's technology for? All right, awesome. Matt, of course, always nice to talk to you.
Always great to talk to you, too.
Everything seems to be rolling along quite nicely.
As long as Star Trek doesn't come up.
Shut up!
Monsters University is just a couple weeks away now.
So. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, are you going to hate that too, Matt?
No, I've already seen half of it. I love it. I saw half of it when I was at Pixar last month. Not last month, April. And
he likes it because awesome. There aren't all these scientific inaccuracies in that one.
Right.
Like there are in Star Trek.
Just monsters.
No.
At college. I mean, how would a slug monster even get to college?
This one is actually, because it's in a different universe, this one is actually true to the original movie.
Okay.
Unlike other movies, I can remember.
Oh, man. Dig. Turn the knife. Dig. All right. Awesome. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. This has been The Geek Dads, episode number 135. I'm Ken Denby, publisher, editor-at-large for Geek Dad. He's Matt. He's Jonathan. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you next time. So long, everybody.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Geek Dad.